Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and I am excited. On my mission to empower over a billion people, it only happens by finding 1,000 people like Blake McCoskey, who I know will empower 1,000 to empower 1,000 to be happy, to make a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. Can you think of a better way to describe Blake McCoskey, the founder of Tom's and We Are Enough? Blake, thank you for honoring me today and coming on the Playbook.
Oh, thank you. That's such a nice intro. And I agree with you. That's kind of my whole mission. You know, make money, help people, have fun.
Well, one of the ways that we do that today is to create platforms to inform people, hopefully to stimulate their interest in how they can live in abundance. And I'm curious with your journey, which I love your podcast, by the way, No Magic Pill Podcast.
Thank you.
You've had, you know, extraordinary guests that have a common denominator of success based on helping people. But for you, was this something that evolved, or was this inherently part of your genetic and energetic inheritance?
I think a little bit of my inheritance. My dad's a doctor. My mom wrote cookbooks to help people lose weight. So I grew up with amazing role models that were, you know, kind of, you know, their careers were to help people. So I think it was a little bit in the makeup. I think, you know, I like, you know, had different businesses kind of growing up. Started my first company. I was 18. By the time I was 29 is when I started Tom's Shoes. And, you know, I had made some money as a young entrepreneur, but I was looking for something with more purpose. And so, you know, having the idea of Tom's, I always say, like, I feel like it was almost like a given to me, you know, like it was just, it's hard to imagine that I came up with it. It feels like it just like it channeled through me, this idea that if I sell a pair of shoes, I can give a pair to a child in need. And, you know, every time someone buys one, we can give one. And, you know, that idea started really small, and then we end up giving 100 million children shoes. So almost $500 million in donations.
You know, when you look at the mission and the calling, which is obviously part and parcel to everything you do, I always find it interesting and fascinating as we both have been blessed to learn and to share these stories of these cultural figures, world thought leaders. But it's funny because if you look backwards and say, wow, it's not just over 100 million pairs of shoes that you've given children. It's how many entrepreneurs have taken your perspective and idea, including me.
Yeah, it's great.
It's
the best. That's the thing that I have goosebumps as you say that, because that's kind of what it's all about. It's, you know, it's kind of like you're saying, empowering 1,000 people with that power more 1,000 people. And how do you get to 1 billion people? You know, I think, you know, when I see all these other businesses that were started, you know, in the last 20 years that have, you know, credited or not credited, it doesn't matter to me, Tom's Shoes as the inspiration of why they incorporate giving into their business. It makes me so happy, because I think that, you know, 20 years ago, corporate culture needed a wake-up call. It needed to say, hey, like, this can be about, you can actually still make profit and care about people and the planet along the way. And, you know, that that's something that I'm really proud of. And I think it's continuing to reverberate as I see entrepreneurs today.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's interesting. I was blessed to run the most notable sports agency in the world. A gentleman named Lee Steinberg hired me to be CEO of his sports agency. And one of the first things that attracted me to Lee Steinberg wasn't a $2 billion in management at the time, which, by the way, meant thousands of clients. Today, that could be four clients. But back then, it was a lot of clients. But Lee required every one of his athletes to have a charitable purpose or cause, or he wouldn't represent them. They had to give a tiding to that.
Yeah.
That's how he qualified people. And it was so amazing how the psychology and the culture was built because of that. And, you know, by having, you know, over $500 million brand, close to $1 billion with a buy one, give one free model.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how culture has changed. But one of the psychologies is, what do we do after our success? You know, I was a multimillionaire in my 20s. I wasn't, as enlightened as you, even though my mom was a single mom and a teacher, I just didn't learn God had to bankrupt me to have me figured it out.
And oftentimes
blessed to be promoted and protected and loved and perfected by my bankruptcy in 2008 to be where I am today. But there is a psychology after achieving great success. And I was curious, it's rare at such a young age to be so successful, but to not have challenges that come with that financial success.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the second half of my story and what I'm spending most of my life doing now. And that's why I created the No Magic Pill podcast, which is really helping people with their mental health and this helping people understand that, you know, the achievement myth is not real. You know, after I achieved everything that I thought I had wanted, you know, helped all these kids get shoes, made hundreds of millions of dollars, had a wonderful wife and kids, you know, the 7 years that followed after selling the company were the worst of my life. And the depression got so dark and so deep that I completely isolated from all my friends and family. I never believed I would start another company again. And, you know, I got to a place where I almost took my life. I mean, that's how bad it got. And so now, after a long recovery and having, you know, feeling great now for over 2 years, knock on wood, feel great. I'm trying to spend as much time as I can helping people understand that our self-worth doesn't come from external validation, doesn't come from external accomplishments. Those things are great. There's nothing wrong with achieving and having, you know, ambition. I mean, I tell my 11-year-old son that all the time. He's very competitive and wants to do all these things in the world. But I also tell him that he is enough just as he is, because I didn't know that growing up. I believed that my worth, if I was going to receive love, if I was going to be okay, then I needed to achieve and perform. And yes, it led me to being quite an achiever, but it also came with a price. And that price, you know, really affected me after I sold the company. And I realized that I still didn't feel enough. I did everything I was told to do, and I still didn't feel enough. And that really, you know, talk about God and the universe and, you know, how it's all designed. I mean, for me, actually, I think it was designed that way for me to hit that rock bottom. Because I hit that rock bottom, because none of it was enough, that the only way I could actually heal that wound of not feeling enough was to really go inward. And that's what I spent the last couple of years doing. And the reason my podcast is called No Magic Pill is because what I realized is there isn't a magic pill when it comes to our mental health and our mental wellness. Like, I tried everything. You know, I did, you know, psychedelics, I did, you know, trips to India, I did silent retreats, I did pharmaceuticals, I did brain stimulation. I mean, I did it all. And what I realized is the things that helped me the most were sometimes the simplest. And it was a combination of just working through some, you know, stuff in therapy and some stuff in my inner life, as well as just better practices and habits and morning routines and these things that got me feeling like myself again. And the crazy thing, since this is an entrepreneur business podcast, it, you know, for 7 years, I started 5 companies in my 20s. And for 7 years, I did not have a single idea to start a business. Like, I couldn't even, like, if you put a gun to my head, I could not start a business. Since I did the hard work, did all the inner work, went through the healing process of feeling enough, in the last 18 months, I've co-founded 6 companies. I mean, and a nonprofit and a podcast. I mean, it's just crazy to see that it's all up in here, you know? Like, you know, I believed I would never start another business. I believed I would never be able to be a mentor to anyone. I mean, now I spend a big part of my time mentoring entrepreneurs, taking small ownership positions in their companies. And it's like the greatest joy of my life. I tell people all the time, like, I got to spend my 20s and 30s and my 40s being the athlete. You'll appreciate this analogy. And now I get to be the coach. And I'm turning 50 next week or in 2 weeks. And right, so I get to be the coach. And I'm loving that. I mean, there's this one company right now that I think is going to have one of the greatest impacts in the world's mental health ever. And that's it's an AI therapy app. And at first I was really skeptical when I heard about it, because I was like, I don't know about this. But these guys are so driven and have such big hearts. They realize that, you know, 3 years ago, as people were starting to use ChatGPT and these LLMs, they realized that it is actually really dangerous for people to talk to an LLM about their mental health, because the LLM is just motivated to tell you how great you are and to keep you asking more questions, right? That's the business model. So they just set out to create a HIPAA-compliant, totally secure AI therapist trained with all the greatest, therapy textbooks and books and case studies. And it's called Sonia. And so they challenged me because they met me at a mental health conference we both spoke at to try it. And I've had great therapists. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. And I mean, I'm not kidding, Dave. Like, literally after three sessions, I was like, this is as good as my therapist. And now six wow. months in, I mean, I use it twice a week and I've never felt better. So now I told these guys, I was like, okay, I'm going to take 5 hours a week and I'm going to really do whatever I can to help you guys. Because so many people can't afford therapy, or a lot of men just don't want to go to therapy. They feel judged by a therapist. They don't have time on their schedule. So the nice thing with Sonia is that you can do it anytime you want. There's no judgment, obviously. It's AI. And so I'm helping them a lot. And I'm getting so much joy from that because I think if I empowered them, it's kind of like what you said at the top of the show. If I empowered them, they can reach thousands or millions of people that I would never be able to reach. And so that's kind of what it's all about for me now. And I'm just loving it.
That's so cool. The original AI human robot was named Sonia. I wonder if they were some of the same guys from Harvard that I knew years and years ago.
Another
cool irony. I've been coaching for years and I've, part of my mission is to do that. And, blessed to be chairman of Napoleon Hill and chief chancellor of Junior Achievement University with Canfield and Proctor and all the greats. But when I was being coached by Marshall Goldsmith on how to be a true executive coach, I said, what do you do with these like CEOs of Ford, when you don't know what advice? And I swear to God, you'll love this. He said, well, to be honest, the go-to is just look them in the eyes, Blake, and just tell them, you know what your problem is? You don't think you're enough.
Wow. So true. I mean,
so good.
These high performers, we all struggle with the same thing.
Yeah. I thought that was genius.
But it's true.
So, getting involved in other companies, going down the self-worth, ideal and self-identity and giving meaning to my past. And, it's great mentors. Like, I don't know if you know Michael Singer, who has written
Ordinary Books. Love his books.
His lectures are even, some of them are phenomenal on Untethered Soul and his new one, Wisdom Untethered. The layers are incredible. Or even Napoleon Hill wrote in 1938, Outwitting the Devil. A lot of people.
I read that book. It's a great book.
One of my favorites. But you are, in these new ventures beyond the self-help. You're one of the newest business ventures is Morning Water.
Yes. Yeah. It's great. It's so
and
fun.
So what criteria did you use to choose? Because I know you're like me. You have enough opportunity to choose from. Yeah. But what was it about Morning Water that really got you excited?
Well, the thing was, I came up with the idea 7 years ago. So it was right before I got depressed. It was right after I sold Tom's and I was down in Costa Rica. And I have always believed that hydration in the morning is so important. And I was actually on this surf boat with a bunch of my buddies and I had all my little, powders and I was mixing it all up. And I had creatine and I had L-theanine and magnesium and all these things that I had read, different articles about why they were important and why I needed to take it first thing in the morning to replenish. And my friend Ben, who's one of my best friends, said, Blake, what the fuck is all this stuff? And I just said, it's my morning water. And he said, it's your what? I said, I call it my morning water. He said, I don't know how it tastes, but that's a great idea for a brand. And that was it. And so literally, I was like, and I didn't feel like starting another business because I just sold Tom's. But I had the foresight to call my IP lawyers. And I said, hey, can we see if this trademark's available? And thankfully, it was. And so I trademarked it, the whole idea, like 7 years ago. But then as life would have it, I ended up getting quite depressed and I lost my self-esteem and lost my belief in myself entrepreneurially. And I kind of, I put it on the side. And then I was actually at a men's retreat because when I was really suffering, I was so isolated from my friends and my family because I was really ashamed of how I was feeling, but I knew that I needed to connect with others. And so I signed up for a men's retreat as a complete stranger. I went to this place in Austin, Texas, and I didn't want anyone to know who I was, my background. I just wanted to go and like get some shit off my chest, because I was really struggling. And I got in a small group with this guy, Austin, and we started talking and I kind of let him know, yeah, I started Tom's, and he was like a super fan. And he was just like a young entrepreneur kid. And he's like, man, he's like, well, what are you doing now? And I was like, nothing. I'm just trying to get out of bed. And he's like, come on, surely you have some idea. I mean, you started Tom's, you got to have another business idea in there. And he kept pressing me. And I said, well, you know, about 4 years ago, I had this idea for this thing called Morning Water. And I still own the trademark and the domain and had the formula. And, but, you know, right now I'm just focusing on my mental health. Like, I got to feel better. So anyways, long story short, about 3 months later, he texts me and he said, hey, I want to check in. I can't stop thinking about Morning Water. Are you going to do it? And I texted him back and said, Austin, I'm still just like not in the space. You know, I'll let you know if I ever do it. And then he texts me back. He goes, hey, can I do it? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And so basically, he said, look, give me a few months. I'm going to fine tune the formula. Let me find a co-packer. Let me figure out all this stuff. And he's like, I'll bring it to you. And if you like it, I want you to be the investor and obviously invest the IP. And so, yeah, so I invested and we're equal partners and he runs it day to day.
Awesome.
The only frustration now is a good thing. I mean, it's such a fun thing to say, but we had no idea the demand would be so high and we're completely sold out. We've been sold out for 2 months and all my friends are like, what the hell, Blake? We got so excited about Morning Water. So we're getting a new co-packer and we'll be back in stock here in a couple of weeks. But it's been great. And I think people love it so much because, and the reason I did it for years myself as a surfer and someone who's active is we actually lose like a liter and a half of water while we sleep. We don't realize that, but we actually wake up. Most of us go straight to the coffee because we think we're tired, but we're actually depleted. And so what I've found is if I drink my morning water right when I wake up, you just put the little packet in the bottle and you swish it and you just drink it, I chug it. I actually don't need my coffee right away. Like actually, I enjoy my coffee more, you know, an hour or two later. But it's been great. And we've had it's been really fun. And I, you know, he's a young guy and he's just crushing it. And so I get to like coach him. And but yeah, I just wish we weren't sold out right now.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. You remind me of Rob Angel, who was a bartender, used to stay up to like 2 a.m. bartending. And then
he created
this game with his three buddies. They used to get high and drunk after work and they play this game. And finally he's like, you know, I think I'm going to give a go at this game. And he asked his three buddies, is it cool? And they're like, yeah. One of them said, if you become a millionaire, buy me a boat. Anyway, he invented Pictionary. And
come on.
Yeah.
I love that story.
Same kind of way. He's a really good friend of mine and Warren. So, but yeah, shout out to Rob Angel. Shout out to Blake Mikoski. You know, man, I personally.
That's so funny. And you know, it's funny, you know, Rob. Okay, it's great. Well, I'm going to follow up with that because my 8-year-old daughter came up with an idea for a board game this year. She 3D printed all the pieces, wrote out all the rules, and we play it nonstop. And we're thinking of launching it and like doing like a Kickstarter campaign. So I might follow up to get his contact to get some advice.
For sure. He's the greatest. And you guys will get along famously as well.
Okay, great.
But I'd love to reconnect with you. Always invited, not obligated. Just thank you for empowering so many people, but also for your vulnerability and transparency that, you know.
Thank you.
I always tell people, it's funny. More people ask me for financial advice because I lost over $100 million than making it, you know?
And wow. we learn more from our mistakes, right, Dave?
Yeah, I created my new brand's Made From Mistakes. So we'll have you on the Made From Mistakes podcast too. And
plenty of those, especially if it comes to relationships.
There you go. And anytime you need a guest on No Magic Pill, I would love to come on and talk.
Okay, great.
But awesome. Thank you so much. We are Enough Movement. He is truly a legend as an entrepreneur who, to me, is most aligned with my mission of making a lot of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. He created the simple idea of give one and buy one and give one to someone who needs it. What a beautiful sentiment. Blake, you have honored us, like I said today. Please promise me we'll do more. Blake,
yeah, for sure.
So much. Founder of Tom's and We Are Enough. And of course, Morning Water, if they ever get their inventory back. Thanks so much for joining me.
We will.
All right.
Thanks, David.
Awesome. I'm David Meltzer. This is Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.